Reviewing the August 2017 Watchtower Study Edition for the week of September 25th through August 1st. This is the JW Review. So, sorry we missed last week. I had a presentation at Kennesaw State University called Is Mormonism Christian? So if you go to my website, michaeljfelker.com, you can check out that presentation, although it's just audio for now, but the video should be pretty soon. So we have a new Watchtower. This is for the August 2017. And the article we're going to review is, Are You Willing to Wait Patiently? So let's go ahead and click on the hyperlink to take us there. And we're not going to go through this whole article. Most of it I wouldn't really have much of a problem with. But the topics we're going to focus on relates to the Anointed class, as well as a little bit about 1914. So let's go ahead and jump in. So we're going to start here on paragraph 4. So we're going to skip here to the end of paragraph 4, and it reads, Patience can also involve suffering without retaliating and remaining firm and steadfast, no matter what may come our way. Additionally, the Bible urges us to accept willingly the need to wait. This aspect of patience is highlighted at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. And so this is asking us to read James 5, 7 through 8, so that's what we're going to do. It reads, Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming or presence of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming or presence of the Lord is near. So we're not going to address in particular what it means for the Lord to be near. That's something that's really interesting, I would say, but that's not pertinent to what I'm going to discuss here. It's really the coming or the presence of the Lord. And just for the sake of argument, let's say that presence is the word that we should use to translate this. And I believe this is how the New World Translation renders it. It's the Greek word parousia. What's interesting here is the context for which the Watchtower is talking about patience. But look at this. In James, this is in the context of the first century. So James is telling its readers to be patient, for the coming of the Lord is near, or the presence of the Lord is near. So for Jehovah's Witnesses, you are required to believe that Jesus' presence did not begin until 1914. And that's actually based off of a number of calculations. And these are calculations that the Jehovah's Witnesses will derive primarily from the Bible. The only type of, I would say for the most part, the only extra biblical things that you'd have to presume or assume would be the date of 607 BCE. But the rest of the calculations, they're really deriving it from what they see it as coming from the Bible. Of course, I think the whole thing is completely fabricated and eisegetical, taken out of context, and just based on really poor reasoning. But nonetheless, let's say the calculations are right. The way I see that is it's possible, hypothetically possible, that the first century readers, that is James' audience, could come up with those calculations, you know, since the Jehovah's Witnesses would say these are biblical and sound and logical calculations. So if it's the case that anyone could hypothetically come up with these calculations that lead to the 1914 date as the start of Christ's presence, and you know, Jehovah's Witnesses will argue very strongly, the apologists in particular, that the presence could not have started in the first century. So with that said, let's say you were a first century Christian and you were just very sharp theologically, and you came up to the conclusion that, wow, look, it looks like the presence begins in 1914. So how would this read? Let's read James 5, 7 through 8 in the context of how it would look to a first century Christian with the knowledge that the presence began in 1914. So it would read, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord," or the presence of the Lord in 1914. That's really interesting. So be patient until the presence of the Lord in 1914. That sounds a little bit odd for a first century Christian. It really would, because they're thinking, well, I can't be patient for 2,000 years, even if I wanted to. That just doesn't really make sense. Now, what does make sense is if the presence actually began in the first century. Or let's take it to a second angle, because that's rather controversial. Let's say that the presence could have begun in the first century, or it hasn't happened yet. We just don't know, and no Christian will ever know. So there's two types of perspectives for which most Christians are going to hold to. Happened in the first century, or we just don't know. We don't know when that coming or presence is going to happen. It could happen any day. It could happen any day. So that actually makes a lot more sense, because you're being patient, because you just don't have a knowledge of when a Christ is going to return. So you're going to live in a godly manner as if Christ could return at any point, at any minute. That makes a lot more sense than the idea that the presence began in 1914. So let's continue on to paragraph 7. And this is the latter part of paragraph 7. "We are willing to wait for Jehovah because we know that he will fulfill his promise to give us everlasting life at exactly the right time, the best time. So we endure..." Hold on, this... my screen just skipped over here. I'm sorry. "So we endure fully with patience and joy." That's Colossians 1:11 through 12. But let's look at this first part. And this is just kind of something that we're seeing in passing here. It says, "He will fulfill his promise to give us everlasting life at exactly the right time, the best time." Well, let's look at John 5:24. John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." So according to John 5:24, eternal life is not something that you necessarily have to wait for. You've actually got it right now as a promise. We're talking about promises here and patience. You don't have to be patient for eternal life. You have it right now, and you've already passed from death into life. But to give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe they're talking about living on paradise earth. That hasn't come yet. So if that's what they're trying to say, fine. I just wouldn't put it that way, because I say, according to John 5:24, that eternal life is something you possess right now if you believe in Christ. So the second part of this says, "So we endure fully with patience and joy. To do otherwise, to wait while complaining and grumbling that Jehovah is not acting fast enough, would be displeasing to our God." So let's look at Colossians. Let's actually look at Colossians 1:12 first, and we're going to look at the Colossians 3 here in a second. Both of these actually are referring to the anointed class. They're not referring specifically to the great crowd. So let's go to Colossians 1:12. So let's start in verse 11. It says, "Strengthened..." Uh-oh, I just messed up here. I am really just messing up today. There we go. Okay. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of in the light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So if you don't believe me here, let's look and see what the Watchtower says about Colossians 1:12. So let's pull this over here. So Colossians, that's actually for 3:12. That's actually for Colossians 3:12, but let's see. I must have put the wrong link in twice. But regardless, trust me on this. Colossians 1:12 and 3:12 are specifically for the anointed. So let's actually back up here a little bit. Let's look at Colossians 3:12. So as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So Colossians 3:12, under inspiration, this is from the JW.org Watchtower Library. It says, under inspiration, Paul appealed to anointed Christians to walk worthy of a calling with which they were called. And so here it's talking about Colossians 3:12, and it's talking about anointed ones. So whether it's Colossians 1:11 or 3:12, where 1:11 is talking about an inheritance. So let's go back there. The shared inheritance of the saints of light. Both of those are talking about, according to the Watchtower, the anointed class. And so I'm bringing this up. This is said in passing with the Watchtower article here. And they're not talking about the anointed class. But when you go to these texts and look them up, the Watchtower interprets those as referring to the anointed class. But what you have to do when you hold that perspective is you just have to say that, yeah, but all the stuff about patience, the great crowd, we can relate to those kinds of things too. But just what's interesting is you never see the biblical text distinguishing between an anointed heavenly class and an earthly class. Why doesn't the New Testament writers, why don't they talk about these promises and these characteristics like patience and loving kindness and all these kinds of things? Why don't they talk about the great crowd? Why do they only talk about the anointed class? It just really convolutes the biblical text, even on issues like patience, stuff that's this practical. So let's skip forward here. We're going to go all the way to paragraph 17. Jesus likewise has been willing to wait. Although he passed the test of integrity here on earth and presented the value of his ransom sacrifice in 33 CE, he had to wait until 1914 before commencing his rule. It will not be until the end of his thousand-year reign that all his enemies will be completely destroyed. It will have been a long wait, but we can be sure that the wait will be worth it. So here, they actually cite some verses where Jesus had to wait until 1914 before commencing his rule. So we would expect that this text in Acts, as well as in Hebrews, should be a supporting text for Jesus waiting almost 2,000 years to rule. So here we go. Let's go to Acts 2:33. It says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which both you see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So the only thing here about waiting is waiting until Jesus' enemies are made a footstool for his feet. There's nothing here about waiting to be enthroned and ruling as king. Nothing here at all. Waiting for your enemies to conquer and waiting to become king are two very different things. And I will say this, even in 1914, Jesus' enemies weren't made a footstool. His enemies had not been conquered in 1914. That hasn't happened yet. But if anything, this text supports the opposite. For one thing, Jesus is said to sit at his right hand. That had already happened in the first century. The right hand of authority. How could that not be referring to kingship? And in addition, God made him both Lord and Messiah. He made him Lord. So Jesus is Lord of all here in the first century. How can that not be anything more explicit that Jesus was already made king in the first century? But let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 10, 12 and 13. It says, "But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet." So again, the same thing. Jesus is waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool, not waiting to become king. So most Jehovah's Witnesses who are going to be reading this paragraph 17 are going to think, oh yeah, those texts in Acts and Hebrews, that supports Jesus waiting until 1914. They're going to think that probably without a second thought. But these texts actually don't support that. So I'm going to show you just one of many texts that shows that Jesus was made king in the first century. It says in 1 Timothy 6:15, "Which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords." So the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that is referring to Christ. You can go to jw.org and check that out for yourself. But this is speaking in the present tense, that Jesus is currently King of kings and Lord of lords. So if Paul could say that in the first century, as a presently stated fact, then that means that Jesus was not made king in 1914. So that's all for this article. We just discussed the anointed class and how that can really convolute the biblical text, as well as 1914, in which there is still no biblical basis whatsoever. So I hope this was helpful to you. So thank you for watching, and thanks for listening. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.